From the authentic soul of Bernie Siegel, MD, comes Mind Health Matters, a show that reflects Bernie's passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges, not just the physical ones, so that each person can live life fully with the understanding that, as Bernie reminds us, we only have today. Believing that we are all here to love one another, each in our own unique way, Bernie has crafted eternal truths and the timeless wisdom of the ages. Join Bernie as he shares his powerful journey through life while offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom.
Welcome, everyone, to Bernie's show, Mind Health Matters, on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network. We are a Boston-based, fully producing internet radio station with all the bells and whistles. We can be heard any country, any state, any city, anywhere you are. You can listen to Dr. Bernie's show, which is heard every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. on our station. And if you have Alexa, you can ask her to play Dream Vision 7 Radio and at the specific time where Bernie's on, and voila, you're listening to Bernie. Well, we're solo today, and if you're not familiar with Bernie, he is a pioneer in the mind-body connection. He's a revered thought leader, retired surgeon, prolific author offering meaningful life lessons. He has written 15 books, actually 17 books, excuse me. And yeah, it's hard to remember all the books that you have written, Bernie. So we are solo, and my first question to Bernie is, Bernie, can you share when you first became conscious, like you were working as a pediatric surgeon in the midst of, you know, unconscious America, and then all of a sudden you became conscious, wanting to connect and communicate and visualize and all those good things. So can you tell us when that started and when that happened?
Yes.
Good. Go right ahead.
All right.
Explain. Tell us the story. We love stories.
Well, it all came from the pain of being a surgeon. See, I think what I call it, I became a doctor for the right reasons. I cared about people. But you don't learn how to care about people. You learn how to treat disease.
And right.
Since people inevitably die, I have a T-shirt that says, joggers, vegetarians, meditators, all die, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's about living. And that's not something you're trained to do. And I went to a workshop, this is decades ago, that was, I think it was from Carl Simonton, about how to help cancer patients. You know, he was doing things with imagery and so forth. So I went. I thought it might be a good addition to my practice and what I was doing. And sitting there were patients of mine. I mean, we had about 150 people in the room. I was the only doctor at the whole conference.
Wow.
That blew my mind. Here's a doctor running a conference on how to help cancer patients, and the only doctor in the audience is me. Everybody else who was there had cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing I noticed was that most patients would run away from their doctors. They don't want to sit with them. But I had several patients come to sit around me, and I thought, wow, what a compliment. Obviously, I wasn't scaring them or making them feel worse or anything. And this woman, and I wish I knew her name, and because I say it's many decades ago, but I sure would have liked to give her a gift. We were sitting next to each other, and I turned to her and I said, why are you here? I mean, I knew she had cancer, but it was like, what brought you? Because I was trying to learn how to help people. And these were her exact words. You're a nice guy. I feel better when I'm in the office with you, but I can't take you home with me. So I need to know how to live between office visits.
Mm-hmm.
That statement changed my life. I mean, you could say I changed my life, but that motivated me because I thought, wow, I don't have to be a failure. Everybody's going to die. I can't cure everybody, but I could help them live. And so when I went back to the office, and this is the other shocker, I walked into the office on Monday morning, and as I walked in the door, one of my partners, Dick Selzer, yelled at me, "You're gone!" I said, "What the hell are you talking about? I'm gone." He said, "You're not the same person you were on Friday. You're going to quit surgery." I mean, I thought, he's nuts. What do you mean I'm going to quit being a surgeon? And I'm gone. And yet he was 100% correct. Within 2 years, I retired from surgery. I started support groups for cancer patients. You know, and you were mentioning, wrote books. And, you know, I learned about how to help people become survivors.
Mm.
That was a hell of a lot more helpful to me. I may not cure you, but I can help you survive and see your life in a different way and learn more. And then
right, and then so many of those people that you shared this information about how to live, they ended up living for a very long time.
Right. Yeah, that's the part I learned too. You see, doctors are taught to say things like, "Oh, you had a spontaneous remission," meaning you're well, you got well when you weren't supposed to. See? Now, an intelligent doctor should have said, "How come you didn't die when you were supposed to?" You know? Or if someone in the business world and they made a fortune, you'd say, "Wow, how did you manage to do that with your business? Let me try it in my business," you know? And that was the part that I found really idiotic, that you have patients who do well and you don't ask them why they did well. And that was something I began to look into, and why I call it survivor behavior. And you learned that when people changed their lives, they also changed how their body felt about life. You see, this is a simple example of the dumbness of doctors. Women live longer than men with the same cancers. So years ago, what was the conclusion? The hormones must be protecting the women. You know? Because why would the same cancer be different in a woman than a man? Well, no. The answer was, men would say, "Oh, I don't feel well. I can't work anymore, so there's no point in living." Goodbye.
Right. Yeah.
What did the women say? "Oh, I have 5 kids. I can't die until they're all married and out of the house." Mm-hmm. Never mind what the doctor said. "I can't desert my children." So they would live longer with the same cancers. And I always remember the guy in the office who said, you know, when I was talking to him about surviving, he said, "Oh, there's no point in living. You know, the doctor told me I'll be dead in 6 months or something. What's the point?" I said, "Turn your head to the left. You have a wife and 3 children. I said, "That's a point in living, for living." Because his comment was, "I can't work anymore. What's the point of living?" I said, "I think your family is a lovely point. And your children."
Right.
Spending time.
It's a point where there's so many of us that identify who we are through our work. So you take that away from a man, especially, and they feel as though they have nothing.
Yeah, and the other side of the coin is you learn you have 6 months or a year to live. You say, "I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to do what I love." And then a year later, they're not dead. You know?
Right.
Because Oh, I'm laughing because the patients I think of, you know, when they don't stop doing what they love doing or switch to it, and then a year later they're feeling better than ever and not dead. You know, there's one guy, I'm sure I've talked about him on the show before, but he was a landscaper and developed cancer. And when we were done, the pathology report showed that there was likely scattered cancer cells still in the lymph nodes and all. So I said to him, you ought to have more treatment after the surgery. He said, no, it's almost springtime. I'm going to go home, make the world beautiful. So when I die, I leave a beautiful world. And, you know, I couldn't argue with him and say, no, treat your cancer. Stop worrying about a beautiful world. So he goes home and made the world beautiful. I didn't know what was going on because I didn't see him. He didn't come back to the office. And 6 years later, the nurse handed me his chart. And I said, he's dead. He's never been back to the office. What are you giving me this for? And she said, go look in the examining room. So I opened the door, and there sat John. Hi.
Hi.
I have a hernia from lifting boulders in my landscape business. And so I fixed his hernia, and he became my teacher. And I mean that literally, because, you know, then I could say to him, why didn't you die when you were supposed to? That's a simple question. Find out. What's the reason? And the reason was he started making the world beautiful and was enjoying it, and didn't die. So I used to spend time with him and learned how valuable nature is. Then you go for a walk in the woods. John showed me things I never would have seen otherwise. Little plants, little just beautiful little things that I never would have noticed, and he would be pointing them out. And he lived to be 90. I was invited to their 70th wedding anniversary, and I got up to give a speech about he and his wife, what wonderful teachers they were to me and everyone else. And again, you see, what doctors don't learn, why didn't you say to him, how come you didn't die when you were supposed to? And learn something. And that's the part that I learned. When these things happened, see, what doctors called them, if you went to a doctor and said, if the cancer goes away for no reason, what do you call it? A spontaneous remission. Well, what if you didn't use the word spontaneous? What if you said, as Solzhenitsyn uses the term in his book, Cancer Ward, there are cases of self-induced healing. What if you said to your patient, hey, how did you make that happen? How did you induce it to go away? They will always tell you, you know, I moved, I changed my job, I got a divorce. I mean, it doesn't matter what it was. I got a dog. They made changes in their life that they wouldn't have done if they weren't told they're going to die in a few months.
Right. Now, on the other side of the coin, Bernie, do you believe that we all have a date of when we do die? As you say, I feel as well we are eternal. But when we die from the earth, do you think we all have a date and time? And can we change
it? I don't think anybody else appoints it. No, I don't think somebody, when we're born, says, okay, put this down as the day he dies. You know what
Even
I mean?
God? I mean, what if we sat in the light and made a decision with God or Jesus, whoever you want to speak to, and say, okay, when are we going to die? And you make a time so that once you're on the earth, you have that time, but you don't remember what time it is.
I mean, I suppose you could bargue. That's interesting. I was going to say bargain and argue. I've just made a new word, bargue. yeah, you could say to God, can I please stay alive to such and such a date? But that's up to us. You don't have to ask God. You change your chemistry. See, that's why I always say Jesus impresses me. Here's a guy who can perform miracles. So why didn't he jump down off the cross, turn to everybody and say, now do you people see what I'm capable of? Now pay attention to what I'm telling you.
But why do you think he didn't?
Because, see, that's where faith comes in. Oh, that's the thing I keep having to learn constantly and stay with it, to have faith. I'll tell you a true story about my past life. I was a knight in Ireland, and my lord said to me, that's the lord of the castle, said, the neighbor is transgressing on our property and destroying things, and I want you to teach him a lesson because he won't listen to me and stop. I said, what do you want me to do? I want you to kill his daughter and teach him a lesson. I said, why don't I kill him? Why do that to his daughter? No, I want to teach him something. And I said, well, what if I don't do it? I refuse. Then I'll kill you. And I said, all right, I'm going. So I went to the castle, which is a neighboring castle. I lied to them about I was traveling through the area. Could I please stay overnight, blah, blah. And that night, to make a long story short, went to his daughter's apartment, you know, in the castle. And as I walked in to kill her, I didn't know she had a big dog. This dog growled and jumped up. So I killed the dog because I didn't want to be bitten. And then she woke up, and her face was visible to me, and it was my wife. And what did I do? Imagine the horror in this. I killed my wife. I literally chopped her head off to end it quickly. And because I had said to my Lord, if I don't do it, what are you going to do? He said, you don't do what I ask you to do, I'll have you killed. So that's why I went to do it. And I brought back the head, dropped it at his feet, and said, you happy now? He said, I didn't do this. You did. Well, I can tell you, I immediately went to a therapist because I was a wreck.
When you had this, after you had the vision of another lifetime.
Yeah. And the key words that everybody should know and pay attention to, because the therapist just interrupted me and said, Bernie, you hear what you're saying? My Lord, my Lord. I said, as the Lord of the castle. He said, no, Bernie, it's your Lord. You didn't have faith in your Lord. And that really woke me up. He said, relive it. See what happens. So when I relived it with faith, when I'm asked to kill, and I said, okay, I'm going. Then my Lord said, no, I just needed to know you had faith in me. Bring them here and let us solve the problem. And I knew my marrying her solved the problem. We became one family. And lived through many lifetimes together. But I think, again, that's what people need to understand. What is the message that you're getting? What is it that can solve your problem? And don't misinterpret everything. Who do you
do you think a lot of people do misinterpret?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because they're told, this is what you do, this is how we do it. You know, each religion has all their rules and regulations, and so I'm going to heaven, you're not. And we're just killing each other and fighting over everything, and you know, what you eat, what you don't eat. It just gets nuts. Now, I'm not saying that we need to discard all those things. Fine, you want those kinds of regulations and rules, yes, but look at the meaning in them. Mm-hmm. Now, it's not just the action. You're supposed to learn from them what the intention is of that action so that you live a different kind of life and a more enjoyable, healthy life. You know, even that we have a Sabbath day. Yeah, maybe God is saying, hey, take a day off and take it easy. You know what I mean? It's not like my day is connected to God and yours isn't. And we're not here to fight over all these rules and regulations. We're here to learn from them. And that's probably the best thing people could say to themselves. What am I to learn from this experience? And then it's a positive experience because you've learned something. And, you know, that's what I saw with patients too. Because, again, the most significant, you learn that you could die, like my T-shirt, you know, vegetarians, meditators, joggers, we all die. Well, if you know you're going to die, maybe you ought to stop and ask yourself, how do I want to live?
Right.
So if I don't
want
to get up tomorrow morning to jog, can I sleep late? Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. It's a very good question. How do I want to live? Well, we need to take our first break, Bernie.
Right. And I'll tell you how to live when we come back.
Yes, we want to hear that. So every Wednesday with us, we'll be back more with Dr. Bernie Siegel.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Why are we here? How can we be happy? Questions asked from millennials to boomers. Crappy to Happy, Sacred Stories of Transformational Joy answers them using true stories of grit, grace, and love. James Redfield, author of The Celestine Prophecy, wrote in the foreword, "This book is a seminar about emerging truths and offers grounded solutions through the art of the comeback." Dr. Bernie Siegel, a contributing author, wrote, "Bodies die, but spirits and consciousness survive and recycle." So, grab some tissues, open your book, and prepare to cry and laugh till it heals. Crappy to Happy by Reverend Ariel Patricia and Kathleen O'Keefe Cannabis. Available from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and booksellers worldwide.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and faith, hope, and healing. Bernie's books also include those like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Calling all authors! Have you been considering an audiobook? Well, look no further. Come take advantage of Dream Vision 7 Radio Network's unique in-house audiobook production, which includes benefits and bonuses from our radio station. Let our knowledgeable staff guide you to create the audiobook you've always dreamed of without breaking the bank. Check out our full one-stop service from A to Z, including the ACX process. Schedule a free consultation by calling 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to DreamVision7Radio.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back. You're listening to Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. We are syndicated not only with other stations in the States, but also Europe, as well as our shows are on about 55 or more podcast platforms. So you can catch us just about anywhere. If you want to get in touch with Dr. Bernie, you can go on his site. It's Bernie Siegel, SIEGELMD.com, BernieSiegelMD.com. You'll see all his books there, his articles. You can send him an email, all kinds of things right on his site. And you want to purchase the books. If you have never read Love, Medicine, and Miracles, that was the very first book that was on the New York Times list for months and months and months. You must get it because it's still very inspiring as much today as it was then. And if you have someone in the family that's dealing with a issue, a health issue, they need a copy too. So keep that in mind. And so we are back with Dr. Bernie. And you were going to tell us, Bernie, how, you know, people want to learn, how do they live?
Okay. And I would say to anybody who has family or friends with cancer, send them to my website. Tell them, get the book for them if you want to and give it to them.
Yes.
You know, it's teaching them that it's real. That it's the, again, there are people who don't die when they're supposed to, according to the doctor. And that's the part. See, again, back in Solzhenitsyn's book, here's a guy who's not a doctor. He says there are cases of self-induced healing, not recovery through treatment, but actual healing. And the words are, and it was as though a rainbow-colored butterfly fluttered out of the great open book, and they all held up their foreheads and cheeks for its healing touch as it flew past. Now, why'd he pick a rainbow-colored butterfly?
Mm-hmm.
Because the rainbow is order and harmony. The butterfly is a symbol of change.
Right.
You come out of a cocoon, your old life, you bust out, and you start living and spreading your wings. And that's what I saw with people. Because in the office, they weren't afraid to come back to the office now that they knew they had this crazy Dr. Siegel. So, you know, that I was not going to tell them crazy things or that doesn't make sense. Or this is I was always helping them find new ways to do things. And I didn't have trouble saying to people, how come you didn't die when you were supposed to? And they all had answers. You know, I moved to Vermont. I quit my job and took a new job that I always wanted to do. It's just on and on and on.
So do you think people live because they make different choices to go to a beautiful place or do what they really want to
do? How do you feel when you're doing something you love to do?
I know. It's in that creativity.
You feel better.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But why do you feel better? Because your internal chemistry is changing. When you're happy, it's your chemistry that's different. You know, it's like with a drug addict. Why do you take a drug? Well, you're changing how you feel. It's not healthy for you, but there's a reason that it's inducing changes. Monday, we had more heart attacks, strokes, suicides, and illnesses. That tells it all right there.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do, skip Monday? No, change your feelings, you know.
Yes.
Don't make Tuesday into Monday. And that's the part I realized from all these patients. I wasn't afraid to say, how come you didn't die when you were supposed to?
Mm-hmm.
They always had a story. I moved. I changed my job. I closed down my business. It's just everybody had an answer, because if they were going to have a limited time, then I'm going to enjoy it. And the one, right. I'm sure I've mentioned here before, a lady who didn't like her body because she'd had polio as a child and now had a neurological disease. And she said, I didn't want to die not liking myself and my body. So I lay naked in front of a mirror and started loving my body inch by inch. She said, I started on the toes every day and worked up. And her disease, her cancer, went into complete remission. See, your body is getting the message, I'm loved. So let me see if I can stay alive and keep the person alive.
Do you think nutrition has a place a part in it?
Yeah. I mean, all those things do. I'm not saying be, an obsessive about it. You can get neurotic about everything. But, yes, nutrition makes a difference. How you nourish your body. So if you're never paying any attention to the value of certain foods or vitamins or supplements or things of that sort, then you're not going to do as well as somebody who does pay attention. But again, you see, the issue I always say is don't try not to die. That's going to happen someday. But ask yourself, how can I enjoy living? So if the supplements help you with your weight, your diabetes, you know, your strength and your exercise does, fine. I ride a stationary bike every day.
And you
I
do
don't
even
see it as work.
Even today?
Yeah, even when I'm 90. But
even
I
when
use
you're 90
to remind me of my wife. I ride for 11 minutes. And cover 11 miles. You know, it has numbers that pop up as you're riding. And so again, it's like sitting there and memorializing my wife who died 5 years ago. And when we get to 11, I feel connected to her, and then I stop and do, you know, do other things. But I don't keep riding the bike for 2 hours. You know, I don't get obsessive about it. I'm enjoying it and connecting with my beloved wife of the past. And feeling good in that way.
That's wonderful.
Those are the things, to bring into your life. And I may say, you know, if you ask some of the things that I do, I don't always talk about it. I am an artist. I'm not painting anymore, but the house is filled with portraits that I've done of the family and all kinds of animals and pets we had and creatures. And so in the living room, hanging on the wall, is a full-size, you know, life-size picture of my wife standing with her bike many years ago. And it's so she's like there every day. And I talk to her every morning when I get on the bike. And right now I'm looking at a photograph of her and me when we were out giving lectures in upstate, New England. And we were
back in the day.
The car. And there's our photograph. And it's just so she's there. And the numbers, that's something that is totally mystical because she was born on 9/9. And that number keeps appearing and popping up in so many places that I know she's hanging around and still with me. And sometimes it's simple, even on, I'll be lying in bed and I get an urge, open your eyes and look at the clock. And I'll turn it up towards the clock and it'll say 9 or 9/9. And I know, oh, my wife wants me to get up. And I get up. Sometimes, you see, it could be 9/5/9. And I was born on the 14th, and so I know she's combining them. But it happens so often, it is no coincidence that these numbers just keep appearing. And I have a real sense of the mystical, and that my wife and all our loved ones can be around doing things and helping us out or trying to teach us lessons so we don't do the wrong things. And
Right, or give us comfort.
Yeah.
I've had so many experiences from my late husband back in the day, because that was many decades ago when we were young, and still receive messages and feel that, you know, when the, when you're looking for a solution, that they help you.
Absolutely. Yeah. And numbers are a good way to symbolize things. Because I forgot, I think it was Jung who said, numbers have quantity and meaning.
They do.
Certain numbers, you know, it's like talking about the Ten Commandments. Why ten? Or Trinity. So that there are certain symbols in numbers, whether it be your birth or anything else. I'm sure I told you this years ago when I was in the hospital after my wife died and it broke my heart. And I went to the hospital and I told you she was born on 9/9.
Right.
I walk in the emergency room and a voice from the back of the emergency room yells, "Put him in room 9.
Yes.
I just walked in the emergency room. And I thought, oh, my wife's here already.
Yes.
And then they told me they couldn't put me in a hospital bed yet. There wasn't one for me. I thought, what the hell are you talking about? This is Yale. You don't have a bed? And the next day I realized why. They said, okay, we got it now. It was room 819, which adds up to 99. So once those two things happened, I thought, oh, I don't have to worry. My wife's taking care of me. And
And do you feel better now, Bernie, with your heart?
Yeah. Yes.
Good.
I'm given medications so they control its rate and so forth and so on. Yeah, I do. I feel better. I don't get up in the morning thinking about my heart. And it's more to do with the heart rhythm, not that it's weakened and, you know, it's failing. Yeah. So
it's the rhythm.
I have to be careful in terms of what I'm doing, exerting myself and things like that. But it's amazing how every time something did come up or happen, it had a symbol attached to it, and so I pay attention. Yeah.
Yes. And, well, you know, in essence, they are not that far away. You know, people think that they're way far, but they're not.
Right. And
you
feel
that way.
I don't feel death either.
Yeah.
You know, it's let's say it's another life, as far as I'm concerned.
Yes, a different.
Yeah.
A different way of living.
Yeah. And
yes.
I would tell people, make sure you live, that you do what you're sent here to do, you know, to help others, do good things. Then when it's time for you to go, you know you've lived a complete life. You don't have to worry about it. I mean, my parents.
Hold that thought about your parents, because we need to take our next break, Bernie. Everyone, don't go away. We'll be back in a moment. More with Dr. Bernie Siegel.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every Thursday and Friday, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time on syndicated Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom weaved through his delightful stories. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Dr. Bernie Siegel's writings and the 12 books he's published so far reflect his passion to reach people struggling with all of life's challenges. His latest, A Book of Miracles, inspiring true stories of healing, gratitude, and love, is both riveting and belief-expanding. Bernie has produced wonderful resources for everyone, like 365 Prescriptions for the Soul, daily messages of inspiration, hope, and love, and faith, hope, and healing. Bernie's books also include those like like Love, Magic, and Mud Pies, a great resource for parents, and delightful, loving stories like Buddy's Candle to help children of all ages cope with the loss of a loved one, be it a pet or a parent. To purchase Bernie's books, CDs, or DVDs, go to BernieSiegelMD.com. And while you're there, empower the mind, body, and spirit with Bernie's heartwarming articles.
Are miracles real? Can you move from mayhem to miracles? 30 prominent authors say yes as they share their high fives and down lows of challenges, abuse, addiction, and love. Experience hope, the magic elixir of miracles, through the personal stories of New York Times bestselling authors James Redfield, Dr. Bernie Siegel, Sister Jenna, Reverend Temple Hayes, and many more. If you like bestsellers, Chaos to Clarity, and Crappy to Happy, you'll love Crying and Laughing Through Mayhem to Miracles. Sacred Stories of Transformational Hope, available now on Amazon and in bookstores worldwide.
Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
And we are back, and we're talking with Dr. Bernie and all his memories of his lifetime. He's 90 now. We're talking about numbers, and I so agree that numbers are really profound and play a key part in our everyday lives. All we have to do is pay attention and listen. But you wanted to talk about your parents, Bernie.
Now I can't even remember. My mind is so full of ideas. Oh, yeah, now I remember. That both my wife's parents and my parents, that they were, in a sense, living my lessons and teaching it. They lived also in the 90s and all. And, my mother also had leukemia, and her doctors couldn't get over the fact that she didn't die of it. And they became her students because she started teaching them what her son taught her and why she didn't die. So then they just loved her. And really, she became a teacher to them. They all showed up at her funeral when she finally did decide to die. She got tired. But you see, one thing I told all of them, I might as well, don't let me forget to go back to where we were. I said to everybody, look, my mother is never going to die with me in her hospital room, because then she'll be failing me. I said, so don't think I'm a bad son. I'm going to leave the room every few hours, so if she decides to go and she's tired, she can go. When I'm not in the room, she won't, you know, she'll think, oh, good, I won't make him feel guilty. And sure enough, one day I went out in the afternoon to take a break and came back, and they said, your mother died. And they all knew. It's exactly what I had said. I leave for half an hour to take a break. She dies. And my father, he just announced to everybody, I need to get out of here. My mother said, help him out of bed. I said, Ma, he's talking about his body, not the bed.
So
she understood. And I said to my father, what day do you want to die? We'll have a big party. And he picked Friday. And, or was it Sunday? I think it was Sunday, so everybody could be free to come. And we had a big party at the hospital. And a couple of dozen people said, we'll come. And when the last person on the list showed up, and I announced her name, it was our daughter, I said, oh, Carolyn's here. My father took his last breath and died. And he looked so healthy when he died. Smiling, you know, pink cheeks, everything. I thought, oh, God, he's going to change his mind and not die. We're having such a wonderful time, you know, this party we're having. And I thought everybody's going to get so mad at me for getting them to the hospital, and then he doesn't die anyway. But no, as soon as I announced, oh, Carolyn's here, he took his last breath.
Amazing.
And he couldn't know who was on the list, but he knows. It's about consciousness. So right. All these things were amazing.
Do you think that he had, feel as though he might have had one foot in this world and another foot in the afterlife?
Right, absolutely.
He was so he knew all
my
things.
My father-in-law said, no dinner, no pills, no medications. And I said to the family, he's dying tonight. And I told the nurses that he's not going to take his medicine. He did not eat dinner, and he's dying tonight. And he did. Mm-hmm. This morning when I came in, they said, yep, you know, he died last night. And it was very obvious that it was his choice, because he was tired of his body and all the things he couldn't do anymore. And I think, you know, we all have to remember that. You see it in the hospital a lot of times when people die at night.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd say, why are they dying at night? Because the nurses and doctors aren't there to stop them.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point.
Staff, yeah, and the doctors, they don't think about it that way. They're thinking, oh, they died because we weren't there to treat them. No, they died because you weren't there to treat them, and that was their choice. They didn't want you to treat them because they wanted to die. And it becomes very, very different when you know it's people's therapy. Because when you leave your body, you're perfect again.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot who used the words that you become dreamless, unalive, and perfect.
Mm.
It was a short story, and I can't remember who wrote it, but it was about a young, lonely guy, and that's how the story ended. He became dreamless, unalive, and perfect again. And I've had near-death experiences. I mean, now it's a big thing with this organization called IANS, Institute
right.
for the Advancement of Near-Death Stories. And everybody's so interested in telling their stories. I mean,
Raymond Moody is one of the pioneers in the near-death experiences.
Yeah.
At least talking about.
A lot of doctors and nurses used to think, oh, Siegel's crazy. Because patients weren't afraid to tell me about their experiences.
Mm.
And I tell this to people all the time. I say, if you have a mystical experience, share it with everybody. Let them call you crazy, because a year later, they'll have something happen, and guess who they call up to talk to? You.
Mm-hmm.
Because they know they can talk to you about it. But if you never tell them any mystical experience, they're never going to tell you about it. So at the hospital and in my office, I'd have people who weren't my patients come in to say, I know I can talk to you. You know, things that had happened to them or their family. And the same thing at the hospital. I'd get paged to people's rooms. The one I'm always talking about, the lady who had a heart-lung transplant, and called me to tell me that the young man who died and gave up his heart and lungs to her talks to her in her dreams.
Mm-hmm.
She knows him, his name and everything. And and we searched it out, and she was absolutely true and wrote a book about it, you know?
Yeah.
And those are the things that I learned, and then people at the hospital began to realize, well, you know, he's not telling a lie. It's true. That's what happened. And then they all began to shift. And I had patients in our support group. One woman was a mystic. And when their family members died and they felt very separated and lonely, I said, look, call up Monica. She'll bring you a message from your husband or wife or kid or whatever. And every time she did. And nobody ever called to say, I don't know what she's talking about. I mean, they all knew she connected because she had names and people. And the one I laughed most about was when my mother-in-law died, who was an opera singer. I didn't bother to call Monica, but A day later, I get a phone call. Bernie, a lady who was an opera singer got in touch with me to tell you she's back with the family and everything's okay. And I knew it's my mother-in-law.
Yes.
You know? And when something like an opera singer pops out, you know it was that special individual who did that.
Yes.
So I live.
Well, we only have a couple minutes left, Bernie. What would you like to leave the listeners with?
I would tell them to live with those same expectations. Don't think that you're different or God feels different about you so that you can't have all these amazing things happen. That's the nature of life. It's mystical. We all have more than one life. I mean that in a mystical sense. That call it our soul, our spirit, whatever you want. So you can die and come back and be in a new experience, maybe a new occupation, you know, meaningful things, and even meet people from your past life who come together with you again. But you don't have to have it happen or else call yourself a failure. No, it's just live your life, not thinking. It's easier to say feeling, doing what feels right for you. I know I was an artist in a past life, and because I started painting when I was a kid, just drawing pictures, and the only C I got in college was in creative writing. And because art was a part of my life. And our house is filled, as I said, with all these portraits. And let me close and leave you with a smile, because one of the funniest things that happened in my life, every time I'd come home from the hospital, my way of relaxing was to paint a portrait of somebody. And when I say somebody, I'm talking about turtles, snakes, exotic pets we had. Rabbits, dogs, raccoons, you name it. I'd get somebody to sit still and I'd paint, and included the kids. And one day when I pulled up to the house, every single pet, and that's dozens, running away from the house with our five kids. And I yelled out the window of the car, "What happened? What's going on in the house? Is it on fire? What's wrong?" And I heard a voice that I swear it sounded more like an animal than a child. "We're tired of sitting for hours while you paint us. We don't want to sit still while you paint our portrait." And I busted out laughing. And I yelled out the window of the car, Okay, I'll paint my portrait. You can all go back in the house." And they did. And thank God I painted my portrait, because they taught me something. I painted myself in a cap, mask, and gown as a surgeon. And I now call it the cover-up. You can ask me that about our next show. What do I mean by the cover-up? It's really important.
Yes.
It taught me something. But anyway, that painting hangs there. And I named it the High Priest. Don't let me forget to discuss that. I have no idea why I wrote that on it. And but yet again, from reading Jung, all those things came out to me.
Mm-hmm.
Why were you covering up? Why did you bring in spiritual title? What did all this mean? I had no idea until I went on reading and learning about those symbols.
Yes. And that's the thing, it's an education, and then it opens one's mind and heart to the mysticism that you speak of, which it is. I mean, life is magical.
Right. I had therapy from painting.
Yes.
Yeah, because the same thing with my wife. I mentioned I did it to her. I know you have a limit in terms of time, but I painted her. I wanted to paint her in an evening gown, looking incredibly beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't like the painting after a few days. So I stopped. Ooh. And I painted her outside, you know, with outdoor clothing on in the winter. and her bicycle that she had since she was a kid, riding on, and I loved it. That's my wife, I said.
Yeah. And
that's what I found so interesting. If mm-hmm. I wanted to show her off, I couldn't, because it wasn't my wife. But I had no trouble hiding myself. So all those things, to me, were learning, and I introduced drawings into my work as a surgeon. They draw yes. yourself in the operating room. Draw right. your doctor, your treatment. Draw your home and family, whatever it was. And it helped people make decisions about their treatment and their life. And, you know, I call yeah. it self-induced healing. You're loving
yeah, so that's a perfect way of yeah. of ending the show, Bernie. We have to go.
Okay.
And it's been a joy and a pleasure to chat with you today. So everyone share the show and listen on Thursday and Fridays, 12 a.m. and 12 p.m. Eastern Time. Until we meet again, bye for now.
Join us next time on Mind Health Matters with Dr. Bernie Siegel. Until then, remember, be fully engaged in life, loving every moment as your unique self. In going deep within to discover ourselves, we can also discover self-love. Then, when we let our hearts make up our minds, we connect what our bodies do so well to the power of love. We can boost our ability to grow and heal along with our self-esteem. The sense of empowerment that results from this mind-body connection is one related to self-induced healing. When you add spirit to that connection, making a mind-body-spirit connection, you nourish your soul. For more insight, go to BernieSiegelMD.com.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.